If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Dear audience of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another episode of Islamic Laws. I'm your host, Mahdi, and we're joined by Sheikh Javid. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Alaikum salam. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, brother, for accepting our invitation. Well, dear audience, on this series of this program, we are going to talk about the Islamic rules regarding khums, according to fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. But before that, let's listen to a short biography of Ayatollah Khamenei.
A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtada Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, we testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching makasas, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up to 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij and he's teaching. One can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that.
Welcome back to your audience of IRIB English Radio. You're listening to the program Islamic Laws by me, Mahdi, and our dear expert, Sheikh Javid. Well, as the first question regarding khums, we have, are gifts and Eid presents subject to Homs? Of course, according to Ayatollah Khamenei's fatwas.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. It is, of course, important to note that when it comes to gifts or presents or souvenirs, the religious or authorities or the Maraji have different opinions. For example, His Eminence Ayatollah Khamenei is of the view that Khums is not payable on gifts and presents given on the or received on the day of Eid, for example, or
any other
gift or on any other occasion, because you receive gifts or you give gifts to people. When you receive gifts, Khums is not payable on it, even if a year or many years pass on the gift. And of course, this issue is as contentious. Ayatollah Khamenei is of the view that Khums is not and cannot be paid on gifts. But there are religious authorities. For example, Ayatollah Sistani is of the view that Khums should be paid on gifts if a year runs over the gifts.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, if a year passes over the gifts, Khums should be paid. Otherwise, Khums is not payable. And of course, when you receive a gift, a gift could be in the form of cash. It could be in the form of an object or something, an item that you receive. Ayatollah Khamenei says, no matter what kind of gift you receive, whether it is in the form of cash or something like that, or it is an object, even if you do not use it, and if it remains unused in your house or in your box, it remains there for over
for
one
more
year.
Than a year.
Yeah. Khums is not payable on it, but some other religious authorities are of the view that if it remains unused for more than a year, then Khums should be paid from it.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, dear Sheikh. And now the next question: is Khums applicable to prizes given by the banks and riba-free loan institutions to their customers?
Well, according to Ayatollah Khamenei, the position is the same with regards to prizes and gifts given by the banks. Of course, the banks do give prizes to their customers in order to encourage them
to put their money in bank.
Yeah, the position is the same. The ruling is the same as gifts received by an individual. The same ruling applies to the prizes that you may receive from a bank. Therefore, Khums is not payable on the prize as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Thank you, dear Sheikh. Dear audience, let's take a break. We'll be right back.
La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar.
The followers of Ayatollah Khamenei can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khamenei's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Welcome back to your audience of IRIB English Radio. You're listening to the program Islamic Laws with me, Mahdi, and our dear expert, Sheikh Javid. Well, as the next question we have, when it comes to Khums evasion, there are some people who try to evade it. For example, in order to evade payment of Khums on their assets, a husband and wife give each other their annual income as gifts prior to the end of their Khums year. Please explain the rule concerning their liability to Khums.
As I said in my answer to the previous question, of course, these people who try to evade Khums are not exempted from the obligatory Khums by this type of gift, because no matter what what it looks to be in common view, everything depends on the intention of the donor or in the intention of the two parties, the husband and the wife,
uh-huh.
in this case. And of course, if it is intended to evade giving khums, then the husband or the wife should pay khums from their assets. And tax evasion is not allowed in Sharia law. And those who are supposed to pay khums, they must pay khums from their assets. And of course, khums should be paid from the asset over which 1 year has passed.
Uh-huh.
Now, when it comes to how one should calculate the year, of course, khums should be paid from the first. Khums should be paid from the on the savings over which 1 year has passed. For example, if you started working last year at the same time, now this year at the same time, you should calculate your khums and your savings.
Uh-huh.
And in the event that a year has passed over the savings, or maybe in the event that you have some savings, you must pay khums from the savings or from your assets.
And 1/5 of it, you mean?
Now, some people, you know, save their money and they don't have any jobs, of course. In that case, we should see whether 1 year has passed over their savings or not. If a year has actually passed over their savings, they have to pay khums from the savings. And if you have a regular job with a stable source of income, you should start calculating khums from the day you started working and from the day you earned your money. The first salary that you received is the first day of your khums.
Mm-hmm.
And next year on the same day, you should calculate your khums and see how much is your balance and how much you have your savings.
Could you let us know how to calculate our khums?
Well, it depends on how much you have in your savings account, okay?
Uh-huh.
Now, for example, if you have $1,000 in your account,
mm-hmm.
you have to pay 1/5 of it, which is $200.
Uh-huh. As 1/5 of our income.
Yeah, one-fifth of your savings, your income,
yeah,
because
yeah.
Part of your income goes towards funding or supporting your family.
Uh-huh, that's right.
And part of it might be saved up in your account. So you have to pay 1/5 of the savings. And of course, then that 1/5 is divided into two portions.
Uh-huh.
One portion is considered to be Sahmi Imam, and the other portion is considered to be Sahmi Sadat. Okay?
Uh-huh.
So these, the first portion, the portion which belongs to the Sadat, it should be given to the Sayyids with the permission of the religious authority.
Uh-huh.
Now, it depends on who you are following. If you are following His Eminence Grand Ayatollah Khamenei, you should obtain his permission or the permission of his authorized representative.
That's
because
right.
He has got authorized representatives all over the world. So you have to go to him and ask his permission in order to give that portion of khums to needy Sayyids whom you have identified.
That's right.
And when it comes to the portion of Imam, again, you will definitely need the permission of your religious authority or the permission of a qualified religious authority. And of course, you're always supposed to follow the most qualified religious authority.
Uh-huh.
And of course, if you're following Ayatollah Khamenei as the most qualified religious authority, you should seek his permission. You should obtain his ijazah. And also, if he's not available or he's not accessible, of course, you should obtain the ijazah of his wakil or his representative.
Uh-huh.
And in the event that he gives his permission, you can give that portion of khums also to any needy families.
That portion of Imam.
The portion of Imam, of course, mm-hmm. the Sahmi Imam, okay?
Mm-hmm.
To give it or to spend it on the most essential areas. Like, for example, helping the poor, reaching out to the needy people, building mosques or bridges and utilities, whatever.
Yeah, depending upon the idea of the expert, which we refer to, actually.
Of course. No, first of all, you go to the religious authority with your details and explanation, okay?
Mm-hmm.
There's a mosque which is being built, and of course, it's in need of funds.
Mm-hmm.
The people are poor. They cannot build the mosque with their own funds because
mm-hmm.
they are poor and they are too poor to help or to build the mosque. Now, we are in need of some money.
Some fund.
And if you allow us to collect funds, of course, we will collect it.
Mm-hmm.
And we will spend the fund or the Sahmi Imam on reconstructing or renovating
uh-huh.
the mosque. And if the religious authority or the mujtahid whom you follow allows it, then of course you can go ahead and spend it on that area.
Thank you. dear brother Sheikh Javid, for your nice answers, and thank you, dear audience of IRIB English Radio, for staying with us. In case you have any questions, comments, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And you can follow us on social media. Just type Call of Islam Radio. Until our next episode, fi aman Allah and goodbye.
رحمن رحيم منان كريم سلام عليم من جاء إله إلا هو غفار جميل وهاب لطيف تواب سميع بصير لا إله إلا هو وحيد قدير محيي مميت الظاهر والباطن لا إله إلا هو لا إله إلا هو